Well, it worked so well the first time, I figure I had to do a repeat. Credence Lodi explanation pending as we welcome you back to the show. Folks, Niners take a third shot at a sixth Lombardi Trophy. Top seed in the NFC made it all the way. Let's talk about it with a returning champ, host of the 49er Cutback Podcast, part of the Believe Network. The Twitter handle, well, at 49ers Cutback, numerically put properly. Ant is back. Ant, great having you on the show again. So, how are things down there in Lodi again?
I'm still stuck. I love the fact that the song comes on. It just gets me in that vibe. I start feeling good. We're dealing with a little bit of rain down here, so it's literally stuck inside Lodi again. So, but yeah, glad to be back on and talking the 49ers with you.
That's hysterical. I want to start with the Niner defense. You know, last year they were tops in points allowed, and then D'Amico Ryans left, their defensive coordinator for Houston. Steve Wilks, who'd been around a bit, Carolina, a year in college, there were changes, Jimmy Ward, Emmanuel Mosley, but I don't know. Is he getting enough credit for keeping this unit at an elite level? I mean, third in points allowed.
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough credit. I think when it comes to Steve Wilks, everyone saw how good Robert Saleh was with the defense and then how good D'Amico Ryans was. And D'Amico's an absolute star. But to come in and Steve Wilks learned an entire new defense, he's the one that had to learn all the terminology. He's the one that had to make all the adjustments. And to keep this defense playing status quo is very important. And you don't see teams that stay top five defenses year after year, especially when you have coordinator changes. Steve Wilks has been great. His second half adjustments are probably his biggest dynamic that he has. I mean, he's just really good at it. So, yes, Steve Wilks does not get the credit that he deserves, but he might get it in this one if he's able to limit Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You know, I'm happy you brought that up because in the championship game, they're down 24-7 at halftime. And, you know, save that late TD, the defense basically pitched a shutout. The fourth down stops, the forced fumble recovered by the Duck, Arik Armstead. Got to get that in. But what about that performance with the season hanging in the balance, not just from Wilks, but obviously he and his guys, to save the season?
Yeah, you have to have it. There's no margin for error. You have to go out there and make every single play that you can, and you have to have a little luck involved as well. But I thought they came out with a really solid game plan in the second half. They were on point, and he did some good things disguising coverages. He had Jared Goff confused, especially on those fourth down plays. Goff was expecting he was going to see man coverage, and it was zone. And those types of things really confuse the quarterback. They make him come off those reads. Next thing you know, he's hanging on to it and making a mistake. And so, yeah, Steve Wilks got his guys in the right spots at the right time, but it came down to the players executing. At first half, not very good execution from the defense and pretty much everyone involved in that. To the second half, everyone on point, everyone doing what they're supposed to do, and that's why they were able to make that quick turnaround. You don't get there without defensive stops, and they got it done in a big way.
You know, speaking of Ducks, since we're here in Eugene, I want to throw an eye at D'Amador Lenore. Had a big pick late in the season against L.A. as they were trying to lock the one seed up. I know he didn't really become a full-time starter till about mid-last season, and it's just his third season in the league. He has experienced, I want to say, some growing pains, but, Ant, what's the word about how he's kind of come along on that corner?
Yeah, they absolutely love D'Amador Lenore. Lenore has been a big reason why the 49ers have had so much success this season. They could have been in a world of hurt early on when they didn't have the nickel corner situation work out. Isaiah Oliver wasn't able to cover very well from that nickel spot. D'Amador Lenore stepped right in and handled that. So not only does he handle outside corner responsibilities on their base downs, but when they go to nickel, he's expected to slide in. And that's such a tough role and a tough transition, but he handles it smoothly. I think D'Amador Lenore is probably one of the most important players on this team, but it often goes unrecognized because he does the dirty work kind of under the radar. But he's very good in run fits. He stops the run at a very high level, and he's very impactful in coverage. Nobody throws on this guy. He's just one of the best in the league. I think he only gave up two touchdowns all season. Just a really, really good football player. I know the 49ers are going to be looking to extend him during the offseason, because they know they need him opposite of Charvarius Ward and just playing on this really impactful defense.
That's that second contract is always a nice ka-ching. Talking with yeah. our buddy Ant, the 49ers Cutback Podcast, part of the Believe Network. For some reason, when whether it's national shows like this, when they talk about the best defensive players in the NFL, you could almost recite Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons. And I'm not saying they're not great, but you get to watch every snap, first team All-Pro, three of the last 4 years, unanimous this year. Is anybody really have a bigger force for the defense than Fred Warner?
No, Fred does everything that this defense needs him to do. He comes out of his responsibilities. Normal middle linebackers don't go in coverage the same way he does. But when they go to their sub packages, he's the one that's out in space. There's just not guys built like this. Fred Warner is very intentional with every single thing he does and every single rep from practice all the way to games. And he leads this team. And when it comes to Fred's ability to decipher what an offense is doing, he's one of the best. His communication through the roof. Fred Warner is the complete linebacker. I don't know when they're going to start talking about Fred being a potential first ballot Hall of Famer, but I already see it. I think Fred is there. Whether he's in coverage or he's stopping the run, he's just superb, and he just makes big plays when you're supposed to make them. Fred flies under the radar, another guy that probably doesn't get as much respect as he should, but Fred is a absolute stud, and the 49ers, they couldn't do it without him.
I tell you, for people who weren't aware, he had 4 interceptions this year. You don't see that from a middle linebacker.
No.
I want to get to Brock Purdy because what I want to do is find everybody who calls him a game manager and have them chipped so they can't talk about football anymore. I mean, it drives me nuts. I mean, he started 21 regular season games. He started an NFL, an NFC title game, a Super Bowl, franchise record for yards, top quarterback rating. I mean, against Detroit, let's not forget, 3 huge first down runs. I mean, Ant, what the hell more do people want from this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused by the conversation, the narrative around Brock Purdy. For whatever reason, they don't want to give him the credit that he deserves. They don't want to admit how good of a quarterback he is. He's way more than a game manager. I do think he manages the game very well, and every successful quarterback in the NFL has to manage the game well. You have to operate within the system and get the ball where you're supposed to get it when you're supposed to get it there. He does that, I mean, in flying colors. He's fantastic. But when the play breaks down and he's getting pressure, he can extend the play and create outside the pocket. And you brought up the scrambles in the NFC Championship game. Those were so big. But also just the throws that he's made. In the Packers game, it was the roll outside and throw the ball deep down to George Kittle on a dime for a touchdown. And that's in the weather, another area they think he struggles in. So Brock Purdy is more than a game manager. Yes, he can manage the game if that's what he's expected to do. But he's a game changer because he can make all the plays he has to make when the play breaks down. And when the blitz comes after him, he's absolutely the best in the NFL. Game managers don't do the things Brock Purdy does.
I heard, it's actually a buddy of mine who does, you know, he works in real estate, who said if the analysts praised him too much, in essence, they'd have to admit they had no idea he was this good coming out of college. So maybe that's the answer. Couple final thoughts for Ant of the outstanding 49ers Cutback Podcast. You know, I was looking at this offensive line. Obviously, Trent Williams pops. He's the big free agent signing from 4 years ago. But the way it's been constructed, both of the guards, Banks and Burford, drafted, as is Colton McKivitz, the other tackle, and their center, Jake Brendel, got signed pretty cheap from Miami. But what about the way John Lynch has put this group together?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the offensive line, they put a lot of trust in Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach. The way that he's able to take these guys with certain characteristics that fit Kyle Shanahan's scheme and be able to use them. They definitely want guys that fit the run scheme first. So looking for athletic guys, guys that can get to the second level. And that's where you get a guy like Jake Brendel. He came from Miami. That's where Chris Foerster was. He got to work with them and experience it. And then they're just looking for guys that fit that mold. But they've done a good job of drafting and developing. And I give a lot of that credit to Foerster He understands Kyle's system very good. He's also the run game coordinator, so he knows what they have to do. But, yeah, they built this very simple. You get the left tackle that you have to have, and then you draft the other players and develop them. That way they're cheap. Most of these guys don't make it to a second contract. Laken Tomlinson, he's out. You had to find guys that can go ahead and get it done. Mike McGlinchey's gone. Here's Colt McKivitz. So, yeah, they've found a way to do it. A lot of it is draft and development, but I hinge a lot of it on Chris Foerster. He's a really good offensive line coach.
Yeah, I got to check into him a little bit. I was very unfamiliar. The last thing I want to get to is, I don't care what the sport is, if you've got a rooting interest and you provide analysis, you can't just say we're going to kick their ass and expect to be taken seriously. So, Ant, as you visualize your Niners winning this game, what are some of the top factors that you think must take place Sunday?
I think first they have to establish a running game with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know exactly what Steve Spagnuolo is going to throw at the 49ers, if he's going to load the box and try to take away McCaffrey early and make Brock Purdy somewhat defeat them with the pass and then loosen up. But at some point, Christian McCaffrey has to be a main factor. Kansas City is one of the worst defenses against the run this year, and the 49ers are one of the best offenses. It just has to happen. And then you have to get Deebo Samuel the ball. He's the biggest playmaker on your team. You have to make sure that happens. And on the other side of the football, you just have to limit the effectiveness of Travis Kelce. You can't allow him to go off and have a 100-plus yard game. He can have six catches. He can have, 50 yards. That's fine. And then in the end, what you have to do mainly is keep Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense out of the end zone. It has to be field goals, a lot of Harrison Butker, and not a lot of them scoring touchdowns. Now the other end, the 49ers need to score touchdowns and keep Jake Moody on the sideline unless he's kicking extra points. I think that's how you find a way to win.
Well, we'll have to check with Taylor about that Kelce thing. But, folks, he's Ant. That's all you need to know. The podcast is called 49ers Cutback. It's part of the Believe Network on Twitter, at 49ers Cutback. Ant, I think we're in for a masterpiece. I think it's going to the wire, but I really appreciate you jumping on today. Enjoy it. Be well down there in Lodi. And, of course, look forward to talking again down the road.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait. Be celebrating the 49ers Super Bowl victory.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for joining us during such a busy week, man. Be well.
You too.
All right, take it easy.